Prepare me for what's next. That's a good prayer to offer anytime, you know. Because the reality is we don't know what's next. And sometimes, in fact, when we think we know, we're way off the mark. And what I've been doing in this season since Easter is trying to phrase some petitions that the first generation of followers of Jesus Christ might have been offering in their prayers. Because the circumstances that they were encountering, the uncertainties and the struggles of faith that they were facing, are also the circumstances and struggles which we engage in ourselves in this time and place. And, we do want to be prepared for what's next. We want to know what's going to happen next, but I'm not sure that's always entirely true. But we do want to be ready to experience it, whatever it may be. And since we can't know the details, we focus on the bigger picture of what we know God's plan for us might be. Now, the first generation of believers were really struggling with issues of faith. That passage I read a portion of from Luke 24 on the night of the resurrection is just one of the scenes in which Jesus appears to his followers. And they struggle. They see him there. They don't quite know what to make of it. Quite understandably so. And they hear his voice, and he very gently nudges them forward to the next step. And in this particular instance in recorded for us in Luke 24, it is interesting because there they are, struggling. Can this really be so? Can this man who we saw crucified be alive? Is it just something, some phantom we're seeing, or is it real? And Jesus helps them deal with that. But then, of course, with all reality, he takes them another step. Because had we read a bit more in Luke 24, Jesus went on to explain some things to them. Things that in their uncertainty of the moment might have seemed overwhelming altogether. And Jesus said to them, "And forgiveness will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are the witnesses of these things." He's reminding them of what he had been talking with them about through the years of his ministry. And that was that they were to have a role in the things that were coming next. They were witnesses. And, the selection that Paul read from 2 Corinthians also emphasizes that because the Apostle Paul talks about entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. And who's ready for that task? I mean, think about the disciples for a moment. Here were a group of people who were not leaders by experience. They were followers. And in fact, they weren't always even confident and assured followers. They sometimes struggled really hard to stay on the same page with Jesus. And now this whole task is being somehow entrusted to them? I mean, these were people who had no experience of the world. What would it mean to take the message to the whole world? I mean, if we think about the disciples, none of them probably traveled more than about 150 miles away from where they were born. They really didn't know the world. I mean, they knew it was out there, and they had some passing contact with it, but they weren't knowledgeable about it. They weren't, in fact, even, for the most part, all that knowledgeable about what was happening in Jerusalem. Because most of them were Galileans and spent their life up in, up in the province of Galilee, where some other Israelites regarded them sort of as hicks from the country. And here they were, now people who were being entrusted with an immense task. And surely on their minds was the petition to the Lord, prepare me for what's next. Whatever it is, because I don't really understand it. Well, they understood part of it. They understood that it was Jesus' intention that they should be part of establishing a new community of faith. They hadn't been leaders in their previous community of faith, but now they were to establish a new community of faith, a community of the forgiven in Christ. And they were to build a fellowship together, to live together and encourage one another in the faith. Quite aside from this bigger and broader task of taking this message of Jesus Christ out into the whole world. And they were still struggling with coming to terms with the resurrection. And this is all somehow in front of them. Prepare me for what's next. But as I said earlier, their circumstances are not so vastly different than ours. I mean, we're not people who have been trained for great roles of leadership in the world. Oh yes, in our generation we travel a whole lot more, but that doesn't necessarily mean we know the world with great thoroughness, or really any thoroughness at all. In fact, if you're like me, you find the events in the world sometimes quite mystifying. And yet we, like the disciples of the first generation, understand that God has intentions for us, purposes for us to fulfill in our lives. And we struggle, first of all, to understand what they are, and then to understand how we might possibly go about addressing them. Jesus had also spoken with the disciples in the course of his ministry about a promised blessing that was to come to them after the events of the crucifixion and resurrection, when he was no longer with them, that he would provide his Holy Spirit. And they'd heard that, but they were, like other things, wrestling to understand what really that meant. And it only became clearer as they lived it out, as day by day they took the next step in fulfilling their commitment to God. Because although they weren't people who knew the world, and although they weren't people who had been raised to leadership, They were people who basically desired and yearned to follow Christ. And they did believe that God had some role for them to play in these things. I suspect they were greatly overwhelmed by the nature of the role that was and the responsibilities that were committed to them, but they did understand that Jesus had called them to be followers for a purpose. And now they're trying to wrap themselves around how that is to unfold. So we too, in our midst, have gifts. Not necessarily ones that are so startling that they draw world attention, but individually we have strengths and opportunities, and we struggle to address them. And like the disciples, we understand that in Christ there's a kind of twofold thing. There's the matter of the community of faith, and there's the matter of sharing with the broader world. And so we're challenged to exercise what gifts God has given to us to build a community of faith together, and then from that community of faith to create a community which is open to the world and which is inviting to the world. Because the first generation of disciples discovered that very quickly that some of the people who came to be part of their community of faith were coming from very different beginning points than they were. And they were also still to experience the blessing of the Holy Spirit, which oftentimes turned very ordinary gifts into gifts which had extraordinary results. And that was the promise, of course, that God's Holy Spirit would be with them and would use them and would bless them and would bring good out of their endeavors, which were often feeble and struggling, as ours are. And so you see, there's a great similarity for all of us. And so I bring you back to that, prepare me for what's next, Lord. And so as we live out our life of faith together in this place, may it be with the spirit of that prayer ever on our hearts. Because you see, in a way, our challenge is to imagine what the Lord's next move might be. We don't know, but out of what has been shared with us through the teachings of Christ and through the scriptures, we have an eye to anticipate how God will lead us in our time and place in the next steps of what he intends to happen. And while our vision of that may be cloudy, surely some circumstances of the big picture are pretty clear. And then the prayer, Lord, prepare me for what's next. Help me be ready when the door opens that I might step through it. Help me when opportunity for service comes that I might be willing to do whatever it is that it is within my power and range to do to honor the Lord. And yes, a lot of the big questions may elude us in terms of their final answers. Just as, you know, when we sometimes ask God, what's next for my life? We don't get as clear a picture as we might hope. But nevertheless, we know that the Lord intends blessing and is caring for us. And that takes us another step. And, you know, we may ask the question of ourselves, what's next for us here in Alberton Church? We're not a huge horde of people. What's next? Well, of course, as we've talked before, what's next is kind of doing today what we know to do in the best way we can, with the understanding that God will lead us, and that as we do it in that spirit, that God will provide blessing of some sort. And that's true in our lives too, individually, because our lives individually and our lives together in community are very close together. And then there's that huge, big question of what's next for the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ in our generation? Whoa. One can think of a myriad of possibilities, but it always comes back to the question, where do we begin? And what role does he intend us, whether together here as a congregation or as individuals, what role does he intend us to play in what he desires his people to give to this generation? So, if you anticipated that I was going to answer the petition for you, I'm not. After all, it was a petition addressed to the Lord. But it is a petition which we as individuals need to have in our hearts and in our prayers. That we will be made ready for what's next, with the desire that we then may live our lives as best we understand and as best we are able and have the strength to do, for the glory of God's name and the blessing of his people and the extension of his kingdom. And you know, we don't have to understand exactly what that will mean. We live it day by day. Friends, this is good news. So keep that prayer in your prayers. Lord, prepare me for what's next. Thanks be to God. Amen.